Thank you all. It's been quite educational for me to be here, and I want to thank each one of you. What I'd like to talk about today is something called the Burning Man Festival. It's an event that happens about 10 hours from here in the state of Nevada and in the country of the U.S. And something is going on there that is in a very positive light. How many of you have heard of the Burning Man Festival? Okay, that's a good amount. How many have been? Okay, I've got a couple. Well, I'm not going to be able to answer all your questions today that you may have about the details of the festival, how it's organized, how the resources are spent, the cleanup effort, the volunteer effort, the political and legal battles it goes through every year just to happen, and the myriad of other details about the festival. But what I want to do share with you today is what I think to be the heart of the festival. And in fact, it may be the hope that arises out of this ashes. In 2002, I finished a documentary on Burning Man, and I called it Gifting It. It's a meditative piece that explores how a host of social elements are affected within an experimental community that embraces a gift-giving culture. Burning Man allows a unique opportunity to witness the fruits of a gift-giving culture as they happen within a time and space. And the documentary suggests that this altered reality may have benefits that extend far beyond the festival's boundaries. The beginning of the festival dates back to 1986, when Larry Harvey set out to burn a stick figure at Baker Beach in San Francisco. At that burning, strangers met. They shared gifts of songs and stories. And then when it ended, they agreed to convene the following year. That was about 10 people. By 1990, which is 4 years later, the crowd attending the annual burn had grown, and organizers decided to move the gathering to the Nevada desert, mainly because what they didn't want was some kind of mob mentality. They wanted participation. And as the number of participants increased in the desert, so did the participation. Art, costumes, community services that were brought about by the participants for the participants, theme camps, and even villages. While participants do pay an admission fee, which offsets administrative expenses and the fee charged by the Federal Bureau of Land Management to use the land, organizers prohibit vending, any forms of advertising, and have rejected all offers of sponsorship. This festival, with its radical self-expression and radical self-reliance in a forbidding environment, has resulted in attendance growing to more than 36,000 this past September. I first heard about Burning Man from a Wired magazine article when I was finishing graduate school in Atlanta in 1998. I was completing a degree in community psychology, and I was interested in exploring the idea of alternative communities, and so the article had made an impression upon me. It wasn't until 2 years later that two friends and I drove 20 hours to spend 2 nights and 2 days at the Burning Man Festival. And needless to say, I was overwhelmed. I carried a camera with me, but I never took a single picture that first year. Because my time there was so short, I didn't make a lot of deep connections, but I saw enough to know that something was quite different. I just didn't know what it was. I've attended other alternative events, like the Rainbow Gathering, but none had the level of expression, freedom, creativity, and community that I glimpsed at Burning Man. I watched other documentaries after having gone that first year and felt that none of them addressed the aspect which piqued my interest, and many of them were sensational in nature. I wanted to produce something that was authentic to this community, that if I held a mirror up and asked, if this is you, they could say, yes, that's an integral part of who we are. So I sent a proposal to the Burning Man community, the organizers, explaining my desire to make a film that focused on the community aspects of the event, looking for patterns of contributions, and to explore what I considered then to be the barter system. My proposal was roundly applauded by the organizers, who wrote back, "Sounds like you're interested in the gift economy." That was the first time I had ever heard those words. So I was off to the desert with my camera, a one-woman film crew, to make my first film. I knew I would ask informants about community, expression, and gifting, but I didn't know what I would find or what patterns would emerge. From the moment I arrived in the desert, there was an unending series of acts of gifting. Some I caught on camera, most I did not. Everywhere I turned, some sort of gifting was taking place, and I began to see a thread between community and the act of gifting. It's funny because when I was on my way out to the desert, I wondered if I asked participants about community and then asked about gift economy, how many times I was going to have to explain what a gift economy was. That first year of filming, I didn't have to explain it to one single person that I asked. Once I came back from the desert and began working on reviewing the footage and editing, almost everyone that I talked to that asked what I was working on, what project, and I explained Burning Man and then explained the gift economy, I consistently found myself having to explain the concept and then work through people's preconceived notions and confusion with barter, as well as trying to relate just how magical a gift can be. And of course, their resistance to believe that it really was, well, real. Spending day after day and month after month reliving through the footage was such a moving experience for me. The pattern that emerged suggested a strong part of the community resulted from the absence of commercialism. Indeed, gift giving was the foundation. And that's why I called it Gifting It. So what I'd like to do now, I've brought just a 2-minute trailer that I actually made for the web. And it'll give you a little bit of the feel of the documentary. I've also have copies out in the back if anyone would like to take a copy. If anyone doesn't have NTSC, I do have a few DVDs with me. And then after it's done, I will just tell you, touch on a couple of things of why I think Burning Man is important to this forum.
Thought that the operation of gift-giving would create an abundance in this seared desert place. The irony is delicious, and the discovery is delightful.
People spend, you know, half their income and half of their year building and constructing and making to share with others in this completely ridiculous environment where we are battling storms and wind and dust constantly, all for the sake of art and fun and enjoyment and community and making something special with each other. And the way in which being part of that makes you reevaluate your own life and makes you look at the way that you live your life back in that other world.
That kind of song's in your head, that everything in your life is telling you, don't listen to, get up in the morning, do this, but there's a song in there that you have such a hard time listening to, and out here, everyone around is singing their song, and it fucking makes it, like, vibrates in your head, and you go, wow! And if you can take that back with you, it'll change your life.
You could almost say that a definition of a community is a place where there is gift exchange. And a converse of that would be to say, if you want to destroy community, a good way to do it is to turn all gift giving into commercial exchanges.
And I have to mention also that Burning Man can also be a lot of fun, which we all need to play as well. I guess some of the things that I think probably apply to this forum about Burning Man is that when I got back to review the footage, I had a hard time really I guess not convincing myself, but making sure I could really call this a gift economy, because it happens in a certain time, it happens in a certain space. You may not see the same people over and over each year. And so I sat down with Lewis Hyde, who wrote The Gift and the Erotic Life of Property. And we kind of went back and forth, and he helped me understand that it is a gift economy, but it's a liminal gift economy, and that people may leave the desert and go back and carry that on in places that are far from Nevada. And I think the strongest part of that is the experience that people have there. They touch, feel, cry, laugh, experience, and really experience what a gift economy is and what they feel their role is within it. The rules that are outside are left outside, and you come into this place, and if you're holding on to a bag of luggage or something, some baggage you're carrying, you really look at it and wonder why you're holding on to it so tightly, because your excuses don't make sense in the desert and in that type of environment. The next point is don't be fooled by the name, Burning Man. It is a resounding yes to feminine values. I think one of the strongest part is its inclusion. It welcomes the stranger. It really, really does. You see people that have been there for a couple years and people who've come in for their first year and are just overwhelmed and aren't sure what's going on here. And you see them build their social trust. And it's an amazing process. And each situation is in its own situation. You don't make rules based on something that's happening on the other side of the playa or somewhere else. It really is about the people who are involved and how they believe they can, as a team, solve the issue that is at hand. And the other part, I think, in which it supports the value of the feminine is that the gifts, you decide what you want to give, and it comes from inside. It's eternal, and it's internal, and it's not external. A third point is, I guess, best summed up by the notion to let a thousand thoughts contend. And Burning Man is bound by a couple of rules. One, you can do whatever you want as long as you don't hurt another person without their permission. You could leave no trace, and there's no buying and selling. And aside from that, you may find a wide diversity in beliefs and in political outlook. But this is a place in which you can discuss that or you can sit down without the threat. It also fights for its existence politically. Each year, there are quite a number of people that don't want Burning Man to happen year after year. And it's not until the last couple of days that you really know that it's going to go through and it's going to happen. And I think the other part of it is that it does appeal to others. And it appeals to others at their heart. Most people that go may experience it and may decide that they don't want to just experience that for 1 week out of the year. So they go back to their communities and they build a local community of support and art and really working with one another to make the changes that they want. For instance, Ohio has something that's called Burning Corn. Austin, Texas had something called Flipside. Arizona has something called Toast. And the organizers are now also traveling outside the U.S., most recently to places like London, to help them realize how you can start building this type of environment. And let's see, I don't know, actually my time is up. I would like to say that if you are interested in it, please take a look at it, burningman.com, and thank you.